Researchers and representatives of health services in Central Australia will meet in August in Alice Springs for a solution to the human T-cell virus. The announcement comes as the federal government announces an $8 million funding boost for Indigenous health research at the Lowitja Institute. This includes a task force to combat HTLV-1. Last month, 60 academics and activists were signatories to a letter to the World Health Organization pleading for action to eradicate the highly carcinogenic virus. The letter revealed that a third of Indigenous patients tested at a Central Australian hospital tested positive for HTLV-1. Caro Wagner spoke to Professor John Caldor at the Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales to find out more.
So HTLV-1, as it's known, is a virus that's been known about for, well, more than 30 years now. It occurs in different parts of the world with a high frequency, but most parts of the world it's extremely rare. When it was first discovered, it was known that it was found to cause a particularly severe kind of leukemia, and it's believed that around about 5% of people who acquire the infection may develop this leukemia, but it may take decades and decades to develop that. It's also known that people who have the virus may develop a disease that's known as a type of a wasting disease. They lose muscle strength, and that also can occur in maybe 5% of people over a long time period. It also is recognised that it may cause a range of other diseases which are not as well characterised in terms of the relationship with the virus, but also quite serious diseases, both infectious and inflammatory diseases.
What sorts of diseases are those?
Well, there's a lot of discussion now about the extent to which it's associated with several types of disease. In other parts of the world, there's been associations detected with a range of inflammatory diseases and infectious diseases. In Australia, the focus of research more recently has been on several conditions, but particularly on a lung disease called bronchiectasis, which is quite a serious condition that, as the name suggests, affects the lungs.
What's the distribution of the virus around the world?
Well, as I mentioned before, it occurs at high levels, but in very localized places, and almost everywhere else is very low levels. So the places that have been recognized to have high levels have included parts of Japan, parts of West Africa, parts of Caribbean and Latin America, and also some Australian Aboriginal communities, and also some communities in Melanesia.
You were a signatory to the letter sent to the World Health Organization. Why was the letter necessary?
For a number of reasons, it seems that this virus and the issues about trying to control it have been not a very high priority for either national health authorities or international organisations such as the World Health Organization. We think there's a number of reasons. One is that it is very geographically spread out, and it affects populations who are perhaps isolated, they have other health issues, and maybe this was not recognised as a particular priority. It also came along, it was discovered just before HIV, and which is also caused by a retrovirus. It's a particular type of category of virus. And the overwhelming impact of HIV in the world and the response that was needed for HIV maybe certainly drew people's attention away from the fact that there was another virus which was maybe much less significant in its global impact, but certainly very important to those people and communities affected. It turned out that there'd been very little done at national or international levels, and so we felt that it was time to try to draw the efforts together.
Professor John Caldor, Kirby Institute at the University of New South Wales, speaking there with Caro Wagner.